4.5 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're tuned to listener-supported community public radio, WDIY, 88.1 FM, Allentown in Bethlehem. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And WDIY is pleased to partner with the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra, presenting a musical milestone with Maida Weiss on cello, along with the Camerata Singers on Saturday, November 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall, formerly known as Allentown Symphony Hall. The program highlights include the music of Mozart, Schumann, and Haydn. More information is available by visiting their website, pasymphonia.org, or you can call the box office, 610-434-7811, for more information. The Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra is under the direction of the maestro and music director, Dr. Alan Burney. We welcome Dr. Burney back to WDIY. Alan, welcome.
Welcome.
Well,
here
we are.
Thank you very much.
What a great concert. The brand newly renamed Allentown Symphony Hall. You have a new sound shell there, and it'll be a wonderful venue for a wonderful program. A beautiful young soloist, cellist, so it's wonderful.
And is she a superb cellist?
Yeah.
The orchestra went wild over her when she played with us a couple of years ago, as did the audience, playing Haydn at that time.
Okay. Yeah, Maida Weiss, born in San Francisco, premiered as a young cellist, age 7, began to premiere with orchestras and compete, and now she's at in New York.
At Juilliard,
yeah. Yeah. Good, we're thrilled.
Doctoral program.
Yeah. Wow, that's fabulous. And I was just reading her little bio here. It says that she plays on a Stradivarius cello, one that she apparently... they have a library at Juilliard, so she's hanging with the Strad.
That's nice.
So that's not too bad. That's not too bad. So great musicians, great instruments, and a great little concert. Tell me what's in store.
Well, we have two classic works, the Mozart and the Haydn, and then one of the most romantic of all concertos, the Schumann cello concerto.
Okay.
So that's our balance. It's white hot Mozart with the Divertimento in D, the Kuschel 136, which has such intensity that it's just amazing to me. It's one of the best known, but it's never gotten to me to be hackneyed because of its well-knownness.
Sometimes you hear a piece again and again, and you think, oh, not this piece. But this is something that stays
this
fresh.
It's a piece that just grabs you from the very beginning. It's so intense and so individual.
Okay. Now, the concept of a divertimento, now that just means like for fun, doesn't it? What does divertimento mean?
Well, diversion,
like
I guess.
Diversion. Yeah.
It's, the idea is that it's light in character. But with Mozart, there's always something more than just lightness. There's this core, this hot core.
I love it. Hot Mozart, baby. Now, is this unique to Mozart? Now, did he invent the divertimento, or did
all sorts of people were doing divertimentos. It's a common term, like serenades, you know, which are also kind of looked at as dinner music in a way.
Okay.
But they had high standards for those things.
Okay.
we tend to think of, you know, dinner music as something, you know, you can kind of listen to or not, you know. But this is stuff that you really want to listen to.
That you would have put your fork down. You got to put your fork down and just say, wait, what's going on over there? Yeah, that's great. You know, that's really the thing that I kind of... You know, I have this fantasy in my head, you know, of what it might have been like to live, you know, 100 years ago, or to have these sorts of, you know, events. You know, when we have a dinner party, we'll put on a CD and we'll listen to music, more like background music.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be great to be sitting at dinner and have someone, you know, at the piano playing, and then so much that you'd want to put down your fork and look and listen and have that be part of that, you know, sort of going to some sort of gala. You don't normally have a pianist in your living room playing while you're eating, you know.
I guess not.
Maybe you
it's
do
too bad.
Maybe you do.
No.
I don't but
I don't think none of us do.
Yeah, but it's it'd be a wonderful thing. Should we just give the audience a little taste of what that might sound like?
Sure.
Yeah, I have a recording of it from the Capella Istropolitana performing a collection. The collection is called Salzburg Symphonies, but this is the Divertimento in D major, Kirsch Listing 136. And what's the little side note here? I can find it. Oh, yeah. It says Salzburg Symphony No. 1 Allegro. Is that tied to that, or does that just happen to be how it's listed on the CD?
I think that must be on the same CD.
CD, okay.
Because the first symphony is K16.
Okay, yeah.
And it's at the key of E-flat, so I think it must just be on
that. That's just the track, the way that's listed on the track here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Capella Istropolitana performing the music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, the Divertimento in D major.
Thank you.
That's the music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. It's 15 minutes after 10 o'clock. You are listening to listener-supported Community Public Radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and that was the Capella Istropolitana performing the Divertimento in D major, Kerschel listing 136. It's part of a collection of Salzburg symphonies by the Capella Istropolitana. That piece of music will be the opening number for a concert coming up tomorrow, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall, formerly known as Allentown Symphony Hall, performed by the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra. The concert entitled A Musical Milestone with Made of Ice on cello, along with the Camerata Singers, performing Mozart, Schumann, and Haydn. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece of music. With me in the studio is the director and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphonia, Alan Burney. That was a great piece of music. That was intense.
I would put my fork down for that.
I would too. I just read a quote. It says Einstein, when he wrote about Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtsmusik, he said that it is a masterpiece of masterpieces on the smallest possible scale. And I was thinking, you know, this is almost, you know, when I think of minimalistic music, it's as few notes as possible in the longest period of time. And this is the opposite.
It's the opposite.
It's the most notes possible in the shortest period of time. And so it's sort of a compliment. But it was just a, talk about white hot. Man, that gets your blood pumping. I mean, when you show up to Miller Symphony Hall on Saturday night, and if you're a little sleepy or a little under the weather, I'll tell you, in the first 5 minutes, you will be ready for concert. You'll be ready to go. That's like a shot of coffee. You know, it really is. That was a wonderful piece of music. What about, tell me about the pacing of this, you know? I visit with many different musicians, and some have different personalities. And I'll play a piece of music, and the conductor or the soloist will say, "Oh, that guy plays it way too slow," you know. Or that, then they'll say, "Oh, that, why does he play so fast? They're missing so much," you know. When you listen to that, does that make you want to play it faster, slower, and how do your musicians respond? I mean,
actually, that tempo was pretty much exactly what I.
That's what where you're
here for that. For okay. That movement.
So that sounded right to you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It did.
Your musicians, I'm sort of giddy right now. Do your musicians also respond that way, or what kind of feedback when you play a piece like this? Contrast for me what happens up on stage when you play something like that versus, I'm going to just pick out Barber's Adagio. How does the mood between conductor and musicians change? Does this affect them? I'm sure it affects them.
How does this affect them?
Talk to me about that.
I think the question that I hear most from the orchestra when we're rehearsing something like that is this concert tempo?
Okay.
In other words, is it going to be faster tomorrow? And that may mean we'd like it faster, or it might mean don't dare go faster or we'll be in trouble.
Okay. Now, how do you rehearse your orchestra? When you step up first time, three or four rehearsals?
Three.
First rehearsal, you open the score, they open their scores, you go through it beginning to end like it was the performance, or do you go piece by section by section?
It depends so much on the piece. Now, this is something that everybody knows, and I'm sure everybody has played it many times in the orchestra. So it may go at least superficially well at the beginning, but then we have to talk about some detail. There's a lot of little detail in that. It sounds very direct and sort of simple in a way, you know, very direct, but there's a lot of little detail that has to be done to get to that point and to keep the energy levels just right and the balance just right and all of that. So in this case, I think we'll probably end up, I don't know, we may have to talk about the second measure for a while because what you heard on the recording is a little different than what you would have heard on a recording 20 years ago, for example. And it affects bowing and whatnot. So that's something we'll have to talk about.
So I know, like in drama, when a director sits down with his cast to do a play, before they even step on the stage, they all sit down, they open the score, the script, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. the book, and they read through it and just, you know, and they're trying to get a set of feeling or emotion or this is what I want you to do or this is where we're going to go. As a conductor, do you, before you raise your baton, do you have a little, you know, talk with the orchestra, or are they all professionals and they've played these things and they know how this is going to go? I mean, do you do this with a baton, or do you actually say to them, this is where I want this piece to go, or this is what I want it to sound like?
Well, at some point, it always has to be in the baton. Uh-huh. You know, it has to be in the facial expressions. It has to be in the whole persona of the conductor. Now, what we start with may depend on how well it's known, how difficult it is, how unusual it may look on paper. You know, you can pick up some pieces, and if you don't know them, and you look on the paper, and you say, you know, there are things that that you're not sure of right away. But if it's an old favorite, then like the Schumann that we're doing also, I think everybody's played it, and there it'll be more getting to know the soloist. So it depends on whether you have a soloist or not, how it functions.
Mm-hmm.
Whether something that goes wrong is worth stopping for, or whether you know it'll be better next time. There are things that happen that you know that they know, and so you don't have to, you know, correct them on the spot. There may be other things that you do need to stop and say, no, we want it. This is, needs to be different or whatever. So it's a combination.
So by the third rehearsal, that's concert tempo. That's like a dress rehearsal. It's from beginning to end. Or do you stop?
If it's a dress rehearsal, we try to go through a movement if at all possible. And then if there's anything to repair, do that.
Then you stop and go back and say, hey, on that, you know, measure 16, you guys were a little slow on the uptake or didn't like the way that sounded or...
I would say in our orchestra, people like to know what things and what the tempo is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're not sure whether I'm going a little easy because of it being a first time through, then will come the question, what's the tempo going to be? If they're not convinced that. And you tend to start a little bit under tempo if it's a fast movement. If it's a slow movement, you go right for the tempo immediately that you want.
Yeah, well, we were listening earlier to the Brahms and the last movement of that Brahms piece.
The G minor piano quartet.
A la Zingarez, you know, right? like a gypsy, okay?
Yeah.
And so we were talking about the tempo of that. So if you start too fast, when you get to the end, you're in trouble because you got to go a little faster at the end, right?
Right. The coda is marked faster, and they did it. Even though they were going a good clip before that.
Before they started. So you got to pace yourself. Like if you know where you got to end, you got to start maybe not as fast so you can work up.
If there's that kind of a change.
Change,
you
sure.
know, the coda mm-hmm. doesn't always go faster, but
in this case.
In that one it does.
Okay. How about for you as a conductor? Now you've done the cello, the Schumann before.
Oh, yes.
With Debbie Davis maybe or somebody else?
We did it last with Gavriel Lipkind.
Oh, is that right?
At Lehigh.
Oh, okay. As a conductor.
No, at Symphony, Miller Hall.
the
new Miller Hall. Well, that's where we did that one.
Okay.
We did another concerto at Lehigh.
Yeah, at Lehigh.
With him.
As a conductor, when you come back to a piece, is it like an old friend and say, oh, I've done this before, and you kind of, I remember last time we did this, it sounded like this, and I want to do that again. Or do you come back and say, you know, it's something new, and you approach it differently. You know, they say, you know, no one can step into the same river twice. You know, you are not who you were 5 years ago or
That's true.
12
That's
years ago.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
And so how, when you see a piece that you've played, and again, maybe a piece you've played several times, how do you approach that? Is it like an old friend, or you try to make it something new, or a combination?
Well, it is an old friend. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that. You know it.
And you have experience with it.
You've experienced it. But yes, you're 5 years or 6 years or whatever older, and you think, well, maybe this would be better if we did such and such or such and such. So,
okay.
So it's an old friend, but that doesn't mean that it has to be the same. The same conversation. You know,
yeah.
It can be a new
conversation
with an old friend.
Good. You're listening to WDIY Classics. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I'm visiting with Dr. Alan Burney. He is the music director and conductor of the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra. We're talking about a pair of concerts that are coming up. Not a pair of concerts, a concert this Saturday. It's tomorrow, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall. And it features the soloist Maida Weiss on cello along with the Camerata singers. The concert opens with Mozart's Divertimento in D, and then the featured soloist will perform Robert Schumann's Concerto for Cello and Orchestra. After the intermission will be Franz Joseph Haydn's Mass in D minor, the Nelson Mass. More information is at pasymphonia.org, or you can call 610-434-7811. We have tickets to give away in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit. Tell me a little bit about let's talk a little bit about the Camerata Singers. You've been involved with them for quite a few years.
Yeah, they've been going since 72.
Man, alive. To do the math.
Oh,
I can do the math. Here it is. 40 years. That's 40.
Just about.
Yeah, 30 plus.
It will, it come springtime, it will be.
Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, we're calling this a musical milestone because for the orchestra, this is the 30th anniversary season.
Oh, there it is, musical milestone. So 30 and 40. Whew, man, I'm feeling old all of a sudden, you know.
Have that effect.
Yeah, that's right. I was around for the 20th. How about that?
Yeah.
So, and you've been around for... all of them.
I've been around for all of them.
Wow, that's great. Camerata Singers. That's a you have a you. How many concerts do you usually do a year? Two or three?
We do usually three. We've been doing three. One with the performance with the orchestra, like in November, like mm-hmm. we're doing now. We always do something at Christmas time. Every other year, it's a Handel Messiah, and this is a Messiah year, so we'll be doing that. And then in the springtime, we do another one.
Great. And so tell me about the Haydn Mass. What is it, just the year, or what moved you to decide this? You've sung this before?
We have done it before. I'm not sure how many years ago that we did it. I know that I've done it a couple of times. And I had the experience of playing the orchestra part on the organ when I was a student at Oberlin, which I'll never forget because it's a very difficult thing to play on the organ. It's again, it's an old favorite of mine, although I keep seeing different things about it. As you were talking about the opening of the Mozart, I was thinking, and I didn't plan it this way, but this kind of serendipity sometimes happens. Each of the three pieces that we're doing has something arresting about the very opening. And in the case of the Mass, it starts out with these things in the trumpets that has an ominous sound to it, not a typical opening for a Kyrie. In the case of the Schumann, the first thing that you hear after a couple of bars that are very quiet is the cello comes singing in with the main theme. There's no formal opening. It's like it goes right to the to that incredible melody in the solo cello that dominates the whole piece.
Wow.
And there is that sort of similarity in the program that I didn't plan.
But it's neat. And I guess that's one of the things that when you talk about a live music or going to a concert, there is something, there is that interaction, and that you find threads or commonalities in the music that you might not have heard, you know, or picked out or before. So that's kind of a neat thing. It's called the Lord Nelson Mass. Do you know anything about Lord Nelson? Do you know the background of that at all?
A little bit. As far as we know, Haydn didn't know him, but it was clearly in his military victory that the inspiration for a lot of things in the piece, most definitively the amazing end of the Benedictus, where the trumpets really take over almost. But as I say, you hear this in the very opening as well. Mm-hmm. There's the trumpets and the drums are accenting the things that the choir sings is very, very strong, and not the kind of mood that you normally would find for a Kyrie.
Okay, all right. So it's not. Let's talk about the mood. So normally you would think a Kyrie is a plea, Lord have mercy. So it's sort of a longing.
That it's more lyric.
More lyric. And
of course, the other thing that's wild about this is the soprano solos. Mm-hmm. You know, normally you have a little, you know, a phrase here and a phrase there, and they're mostly lyric, but the soprano comes on like gangbusters in this movement with all sorts of runs up to high B flats and things like that. It's very theatrical. And not the lyric quality. There's plenty of lyricism in the work, but that's in other places. It's that beginning is like, okay fasten seatbelts.
All right. We're going to listen to that in a minute. I want to hear this. I want to hear it. English or German?
It's Latin.
Oh, it's in Latin. Latin Mass. Okay.
Yeah, it's Latin.
Latin. And soloists or no?
Yes.
Yes. Who's singing?
Elizabeth Weigel is our soprano. That's the solo that really is the standout in the whole piece. The other solos are kind of, I would say, normal for a Mass. But the soprano has these amazing things, very sort of operatic.
Okay. Good. Well, that's good. All right. We're speaking with Dr. Alan Burney. We're talking about the upcoming concert. It's tomorrow, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall in downtown Allentown. That's 6th Street. It's a block north of Hamilton on 6th Street. It's sort of diagonal across from the new big metro bus station terminal parking garage there. You can park there. And it features the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra, along with Maida Weiss on cello, the music of Mozart, Schumann, and Haydn. Anything else about the concert tomorrow you want to touch on, or do we get most of that?
The Schumann is interesting in the fact that it's three movements, but they are linked together. One of the things that many of the Romantics did was to try to find a unifying element rather than three separate movements. Not in all cases, but this is one of the most, I think, ingenious, because it just melts from one section into the next quite without any major bridges or anything like that.
Okay. And then let's look, just glance a little bit down the pike here. January 23rd?
January, I have to look for the date. It's the 27th, actually.
27th, sorry. January 27th.
Sunday the 27th is our Winter Vivaldi. Where Sean Duggan will again be with us and do the seventh of the program that we originally set out to do, all seven of the keyboard concertos.
Wow. So another milestone.
Yeah, that'll be a milestone.
30 years, 40 years, and all seven with Sean Duggan. So Father Sean is coming. Good.
Yeah. The big question for Father Sean is whether he will be going back to the Abbey on a regular basis next season.
Really?
I don't know that that's been decided
now
yet.
Now he's been teaching down.
He's been teaching in SUNY.
SUNY, right. What's the SUNY Brook? What's the music school?
They all have music schools, but This is the one near Buffalo.
Okay.
I forget what it's called now. But
he's
been there for
Stony Brook. Is it Stony Brook?
Not Stony Brook.
Okay.
No. He's chair of the piano department there.
Okay.
And he's been out and about, you know, playing concerts around the world for now since the year 2000 when he launched his Bach series in various cities, including here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been away for a long time, and they're anxious to have him back. And he may be able to go back and also teach at Loyola. So that's an interesting possibility.
Well, if he's in town by Friday, on whatever the Friday is before that concert, maybe he can stop by. We can talk about it.
I'll see if he can. I don't know if he can be that
Depend
early,
on his
but,
travel schedule.
Might.
Okay. Very good. We have tickets to give away for the concert on tomorrow. So if you'd like a pair of tickets, we have a couple pairs to give away. The number here is 610-694-8100, extension 1 after the music starts. 610-694-8100, extension 1 after the music starts. We'll be happy to set you up. We'll take the first two or three callers here. We have at least three pairs of tickets to give away. Again, the concert is at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown, the former Allentown Symphony Hall, Saturday, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. Call us 610-694-8100, extension 1, and you too can have tickets. This is the Lord Nelson Mass by Franz Joseph Haydn. This is the Kyrie and the Gloria. Right here on WDIY Classics.
Yeah.
The Bonchetto Musicale under the direction of Martin Perlman. That's the music of Franz Joseph Haydn, the Lord Nelson Mass, a Mass in D minor, Hoboken listing 22. That will be the finale of a concert entitled A Musical Milestone with Maida Weiss on cello and the Camerata Singers, the Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra, performing tomorrow night, November 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Allentown Symphony Hall. More information is at pasymphonia.org. Congratulations to Chris from Bethlehem. She picked up a pair of tickets to that concert. And there's pair of tickets left at 610-694-8100, extension 1. You can pick up a pair of tickets and win also. We have music coming up from Mozart to get us to the top of the hour. And at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, we'll have our Friday film scores. Brand new film score music from a film that opens today across the country, Anna Karenina. You want to hear that. It's a really lovely piece of music this morning from 11 to 12 on Friday film scores. We were listening to Mozart earlier, and we're going to turn our attention to Mozart just for a couple minutes. This is from his Concerto in G Major, Kirchhoff Listing 216, the final movement, Rondo Allegro, Gila Pop, along with Sinfonia Varsovia, right here on WDIY Classics.